All right, we're there? All right. Shalom, Havarim Shali. Peace, my friends. And we are ready for a new class. Do you guys know you finished both books studying Hebrew? You finished both books, which means that you are on this last portion of this school. And not that it's a short portion, because now that you know the basics, because that's what those 17 Bible studies do. They introduce you to the basics of the Bible so that you have an understanding of who God is, how complicated his book is, yet simple, why he gave us 66 books, why learning Hebrew is so important. If you really want to understand the Bible, because, you know, you may want to understand it on a deeper level. And the only way to really understand it on a deeper level is to understand the Hebrew, or, you know, the Holy Spirit's a shortcut as well. he'll give it to you on a deeper level. You don't even have to know Hebrew. So, but from my experience, God's request for me, or command for me, was you learn Hebrew, then I will teach you the Bible. So that told me that the prerequisite of me learning the Bible for God was I needed to understand his language. And so now that you guys have gotten a taste of of the basic structures of the Bible, because if you don't understand typologies, then you'll never understand that the whole Old Testament is just a book of typologies prophesying future events. And then when you get to the New Testament, you won't understand that those typologies are now being fulfilled in the New Testament. And even there's some new typologies in the New Testament. It's just telling you the exact same stories. So learning Hebrew gives you the basis of the Bible so that when people begin to say things that aren't part of the base of the Bible, then you can basically tell them, well, that's impossible because it veers away from the basic truth. And so that's what the Bible does. Okay, I'm going to say the Lord's Prayer, and we are going to get into today's Bible study. So if you bow your head with me, and let's pray. Avanu Shaba Shabaim Yit Kadeshimcha Tavo Mehuteka Yi Aserot Sanaka Be Aretke Asher Ne Asabe Shamaim Telano Hayom Lechum Hukeno Uselak Lano et Ashmiteno Asher Ashmilanu Vial Tevienu Lede Masa Lekimus. Oh my goodness. Vial Tevienu Lede Masa Keim Hatsilanu. Why am I being stuck on the Lord's Prayer? I can say the Lord's Prayer in my sleep. Amen. Why did I go blank? Am I getting old?
Yep.
Oh, God. Don't let that happen to me. Okay, now I'm going to be saying it all the way home so that I go, what happened? What was that? That was a weird moment. I've said that prayer 120 times since learning Hebrew from the beginning. I'm like, what is going on? Okay. So anyway, you guys pray for me. So, okay. So what I want to introduce you today is something that's takes you to a higher level in biblical studies. It doesn't take you to a higher level as far as understanding who you are in Christ and everything, but it takes you to a higher level of understanding the person that wrote the Bible is a pure genius.
Yes.
Okay? And by the time we finish Gematria, you will receive a homework assignment that we had a lot of fun with in our first 2 years at this school. And that is, I'm going to ask you to do something that God has done throughout the whole Bible. And that is create your own code in your own sentence.
Oh.
And make the sentence sound like a legitimate sentence or paragraph, and you would have to code your name in, because this is where the Bible is written, okay?
That's going to be it.
Because let's talk, for example, okay? Now watch this. This is pretty cool. In the book of Genesis, so we have what? You have the word Torah spelled every 50 letters going forward, okay? So every 50 letters, when you start Genesis, if you count every 50 letters, okay, it's going to give you the Torah. Well, let's do it in Hebrew since this is Hebrew class, okay? It's going to give you, okay, it's going to give you those four letters, okay? So every 50th letter, and I'm talking in Hebrew, not English. So every 50 letters, when you read it in Hebrew, if you start with the first, if you start with the first tet that you get, you're going to get this letter, okay? Then you're going to count 50 letters straight, and you'll come right to a vav, okay? Then you'll count 50 more letters, and you'll come right to a resh. Then you'll come count 50 more letters, and it'll lead you to a hey, okay? Now, you will say, well, that's strange, but then let's look at it and see what happens in Exodus, okay? And then in Exodus, the exact same thing. Every 50 letters in Exodus is going to spell Torah, okay? So you go, well, let's look at Leviticus, okay? So now you go to Leviticus and you go, oh my, it doesn't do that there. It doesn't do it there. But then you go, okay, let's go to the other book. Okay, so now let's go to Numbers. And then you realize every 49 letters going the other way, backwards, spells Torah. So you go, oh, okay. Well, let's go to Deuteronomy. And then you go to Deuteronomy and you realize that it, every 49 letters backwards also spells Torah. Hmm. But it spells it backwards, okay? You start off with the hey, resh, va, then tet, and it'll do it backwards here. So that means that the first four books are pointing this way. I mean, the first two books are pointed that way. The last two books of the five books are pointed that way. And you got Leviticus in the middle, which doesn't do it. But every, let's say, seventh letter spells Yad, He, Vav. Hey. Which is what? Yahweh. So then, now this is every seventh letter. It may be eighth. I'm going to check my. But every seventh or eighth letter spells going forward, spells Yahweh. So that means the five books are pointing you to the middle book, which is Yahweh. Okay? So now you have to say, why would God do that? Okay? God is doing these things because he's putting a signature on his work. Because some crazy guy is going to come by and say, guess what? Man wrote the Bible. And then you're going to go, wow, some man took the time out to make sure that every 50th letter in Genesis spelled Torah and every 50th letter in Exodus spelled Torah. And then he took time out to make sure every seventh letter in Leviticus spelled Yahweh. And then he took the time out to make sure every 49th letter going backwards the other way spells, you know, Torah. So it's like, okay, some man took the time to do that. Okay. And then you say, okay, well, that's strange that a man would go through that type of mathematical equation. And then while you're doing this, you got to make what you're writing sound sensible.
Right.
Okay, so now we're on a whole nother level. Okay, so this is the basis of gematria. If I want to tell you something, and I want to tell you, I want to put it in a way that you can connect all four words together, so you'll know that this one is the same as this one. Like Emmanuel, right? Emmanuel has the same numerical gematria as God Most High, El Elyon, right? So you don't have to figure out, I wonder if Emmanuel was God. You know, because they have the same gematria, God is telling you that this is God. You understand? So, and many other things. So in gematria, what you say is, okay, I'm going to give you a word that is a four, okay? So now, look at the board again. And this is what you'll see. 1 + 3 equals what? 4, right? So I said, okay, I'm going to trick them. I'm going to write it different, and then they won't know what I'm talking about. So 2 + 2 equals what? 4. Wow, and then you're like, okay, that word equals 4. This word equals 4. And then you say, okay, I'm going to really trick them this time. 1 + 1 + 1 + 1 equals what? And you go, 4. Wow, okay. So you go, I'm going to put it backwards this time, 3 + 1. And then you go, it's still 4, Pastor Sandy. And then y'all, you're yelling. And then you go, okay, 4 + 0. You go, 4, okay. So it doesn't matter how I write it.
Yep.
Rather I say Emmanuel or El Elyon to God, it's still 253. You understand? So in God's mind, he's writing the same numerical values for God throughout the Bible. He's writing the same numerical values for Jesus throughout the Bible. Now, something that God also does is now he will multiply numbers to make sure that you know what he's talking about. I'm going to give you an example, okay? Now watch this, okay? Okay, here we go. Erase this. We're going to have fun in gematria because we're going to look through the Bible and we're going to find Jesus in Genesis, you know, all the way to Malachi. You're going to find the name Yeshua. Okay. And sometimes you're going to find his name and it'll say Yeshua, the gift. Sometimes it'll say Yeshua, the way. But in the coding of each of all the scriptures, God's going to say, I'm going to make this every 10 letters. Every 10th letter, I'm going to spell Yeshua as I write this verse. For example, Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53, counting forward, if you read Isaiah 53, or if a Jewish person read Isaiah 53, they would say that scripture has nothing to do with Jesus. And you would read it, and you will say it does have something to do with Jesus. And then, so you have the argument between the Jewish guy and the Christian guy. But now, if you could take him and say, let me show you something strange in this chapter. Let's count every 8 letters forward and then see what letters come out. And then as you're counting it forward, 8 letter, the letters would spell Yeshua. Okay. And then you say, I'm going to keep counting every 8. And it would say Yeshua Smai. And it says, what is Smai? My name. So in Isaiah 53, encoded in the whole chapter is Yeshua Smai. Yeshua is my name. Yeshua is my name. Yeshua is my name. Now, if you can show a Jewish guy that, now he's going to say, you know, of course, if he wants to hold on to not believing, he'll come up with something else. But he would not be able to deny that God encoded Jesus' name inside of Isaiah 53. And you're going to get all of this homework because I want you to have it in your hand so that you can properly show it to someone else, okay? Because the guy that wrote this book is a genius. And that's under that that that's not even close to what we can say about the intelligence of God. But you have to remember, the person that wrote your book created your body. The person that wrote your book flung stars into the atmosphere, okay? He created oxygen. He created the sun, okay? And now you think he's going to write a book and it's going to be so simplistic and there's no undercoding or there's no DNA inside of the book to tell you who he really is, okay? So the gematria, to me, is the DNA inside of the scriptures to tell you you're dealing with God, okay? Now, what was I about to write up there? Oh, this is what I was about to write. Okay, what is God's numerical number? 7. Okay, so we know that God is, his numerical number is 7. We know that because even this letter here, I'm going to write it because you'll go, oh, that's a Zion. That's a 7. Well, see, they used to put the crowns on it like this. Okay. And so Shin is really 3 Zions connected together. Okay. Then they put the crowns on them. Right. Because they're Father, Son, Holy Spirit is all king. They don't know why they're doing it. But okay, this is how it would be written, okay? It's 3 Zions put together, and of course, 3 Zions equal 21. Now, how many letters are in the Hebrew alphabet? 22.
Oh, that's right.
Okay, but what's the 21st letter? That's what you meant. The 21st letter is Shin.
Right.
So why did God make Shin the 21st letter? Because it's Zion, it's 7, 7, and 7. It's the 21st. Now, what does it mean? It means the word just means Shaddai. Okay? Now, if you go to a Jewish home, they will have this letter on the door of their house. What does that letter mean for them? It's not an idol.
Right.
It's letting whoever comes to that house to know that
he's the provider.
Because El Shaddai means all sufficient. They're letting you know this house is all sufficient. Okay? And it's all sufficient because of who? Because of El Shaddai, who is what? The 777, because he's a Trinity. But of course, they're not going to say he's a Trinity. But El Shaddai is Father, Son, Holy Spirit, or Father, the Spirit, and the Word all together, okay? Elohim is what? Here we go. El, is that is God, right? Elohim, okay? I'm going to make the word God, Eli, when Jesus is on the cross, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, my God. El is God, okay? But I'm going to make Elohim a plural word. You know this because you've been through this. I just put an S on the end of God. So Elohim is a plural word. So, but when it's written, if you know the structure of the Hebrew, you'll know that it's written as a singular word. It's almost like really bad English, you know what I mean? It's like, I saw all of you at the store. And you're like, you mean all of y'all. You know, you got to put a y'all on it. You got to put a big S, right? No. This is so it's bad. To us, it's bad English, but it's perfect Hebrew because I can make a singular unit one, echad, okay? Because echad means a unit of one, okay? Now, so El Shaddai is 21. Now we know that El Shaddai is God. El Shaddai is 21. I'm going to write a word up here. Okay. Oh,
Where are your glasses?
No, I can see it. I can see this. This is written pretty big. Hey, Yad, hey. Okay, Aleph, Yad. Wait a minute. I got to put the hey first. Hey, now, all that is right there is in Hebrew, I am. Okay? So, God saying, I am. This is how it's spelled. When Moses says, who shall I say, sent me? And you'll go, he says, just tell him I am. Okay? So, I am is a, we know the Aleph is a one. The hey is a five. The yod is a 10. The other hey is a 5. So I am is also 21. So that means, remember, 1 plus 3 equals 4. Okay? 2 plus 2, still 4. Okay? So I don't have to be confused and see, okay, is El Shaddai also I am? This is why when Jesus says, well, you know, Abraham longed to hear, to see this day, and he was glad. He says, you're not even 50 years old, and you've seen Abraham. And he says, before Abraham was, remember, he's talking to Jews. He says, I am that I am, which is that. He says, I am. And he says the same name that they're not allowed to say. This name had not been mentioned in the mouth of any Jews until you get this one guy on the hill that's claiming to be God that says, oh, Abraham would have loved to have seen this day. And he goes, you're not even 50 years old. How can you see? And you've seen Abraham? And he says, before Abraham was, I am. And they went, oh my God. If you read right after that, they wanted to throw him off a cliff, right? Why? They understood that you're saying that you're the 21, because the 21 is the 21 no matter how you say it. Okay? You're trying to tell us you're the 21? I am El Shaddai. Really? Okay, so. Now, when you understand that, you understand more about scripture, because now as I go through scripture and when we're reading and studying scripture, we're going to look at things and we're going to see, okay, like for example, the word grace in Hebrew is chen, right? But seven times grace equals tav, the cross. Okay? So we know that God's grace and the cross are intricately linked. Okay? The word trial in Hebrew, bachan, and the word the Lord, the judge, Yahweh, Hashapat, is 422. But 60, so 7 times trial equals 420, which is the Lord, the judge. The prophet, Nevin, is 63, but 63 times 7 equals the word Emet, which is truth. So seven times a prophet equals truth. Because a prophet is going to tell you the truth, right? Okay. Now check this out. This is what God does. Oh, you guys are going to love gematria. Okay. Now, say I wanted to write truth in Greek. Why did God choose two languages? You know what languages we're dealing with? Alphanumerical languages. That means every letter is a number. So God chose two alphanumeric languages. Why would he do that? So he can link all of the numerical values, okay? And he's going to take two different languages and he's going to link all the numerical values together so that the Greek is married to the Hebrew and it all comes together to make sense, okay? Now, what you're going to also get, okay, so I take the word in Greek for truth, but in Hebrew is the word the Lord has sworn. So the truth in Greek, 64 times 7, will equal the Lord has sworn, 448 in Hebrew. So now God is doing some of this stuff even with the Greek. Purity, okay, in Greek is the numerical value of 70 times 7 would be 490, which is the number, which is the word perfect, tamim. Okay, so 70 is tamim. Let's go back to last night. Okay, 70 is perfect. Okay, in the Greek, 70 is perfect or purity. Wow. That means purity is like to make righteous, to okay? So in the 70, he does this. It's purity. It's purity, okay? But 7 times purity in Greek equals 490 in Hebrew, which is tamim, okay? So what's the 490? He said to Daniel, there are 490. There are 7 times 70 weeks of years left for your people to do the following 6 things, to get rid of sin, to anoint the holy, all of these 6 things, right? So the 490 is very important. Okay, why? Because the 490 in God's language is perfect timing. It's tamim, which is purity. Okay? Anyway, I don't want to go completely through all of this. But I'll do one more because this is something that I'm going to pull up for you, okay? 281 in Greek is weakness. It's like I'm a weak person, like weakness, like you can't fight for yourself, right? But 1967 is the power of God. What happened in 1967?
Oh, Jerusalem.
Who fought the war?
God fought the war.
In your weakness, God is what? Was their strength. In my weakness, God is my 1967. You understand? So it doesn't matter that I'm not prepared to fight. It doesn't matter that I'm not strong enough to fight. Because in my weakness, God is my strength. Which is a quote from Paul, right? Amen. He was just quoting to you the prophecy of 1967.
Wow.
He said, in my weakness is the power of God. Okay? So, as we begin to learn more and more about gematria, you're going to learn the complex way that God wrote the Bible. He wrote codes. There are codes in the Bible. We're going to look at that because there are things in that God put in the Bible where he forms a cross in the book of Psalms and he puts the word Ruach right above the cross, which is the Holy Spirit. So he's basically showing you the baptism with the Holy Spirit. And then the whole verse is about the coming of the Christ and what he would do. So it's like all of this stuff that God is doing in the Bible. It lets you know, okay, wait a minute. Who would take the time to do all of this in a book and make all the numerical values equal perfectly? This is why I try to tell people, I know you think I'm crazy, but I'm not. Because I was already preaching that the rapture was going to happen in 2018 in the prison, right? But it was God that said, let me correct you, the end of the 6,000 years is 2017. And so I started studying what God wanted me to study concerning 17 in 2017 and 6,000 years. Now, I learned tremendous things by learning that, okay? Tremendous things. I would never go backwards to say, oh, I should have just continued preaching 2018. No. What I learned about 17 in 2017 and the end of a work week and all of this stuff and what happens after the sixth day was tremendously important for me to learn, because I learned God's intelligence of how he was setting things up. Okay, so then now all of a sudden Matthew chapter 17 makes sense to me, because now it says after the sixth day, because in my thinking it would have to happen on the sixth day, because it happens at the end of the 6,000 year. So much intelligence can be learned through studying and finding out. Because if you think God's wrong, all you got to do is study and find out you are.
Yep.
It just takes a little studying, okay? So I studied my way out of self-intelligence. Okay, let's look at something else in the Hebrew. Tell me how much time I have, Pastor Ben.
You have 25 minutes.
Okay, now I want to explain to you, let's see, what do I want to do? Okay, the marriage of the Greek and the Hebrew. Okay, let me see if I can read some of this. Okay, now there are multiples, okay, like we say the word Zohar in Hebrew, okay? So we say Zohar, let's see, okay, you say Zohar in Hebrew, and then you go, okay, Zohar is rock, okay, and you go, okay, Zohar is a rock, okay, and now if you read Deuteronomy chapter 32, and I think I'd like to read that, because I love Deuteronomy chapter 3. I want to just read a couple of verses from that, because what it does is it's kind of telling you a story here. And after reading this, I had to do a gematria on this rock that they were rejecting, okay? Because this is what it said. Is it Deuteronomy 32? Yes. Okay. So in Deuteronomy 32, in verse 16, it says, Yashurun, which is another word for Israel, grew fat and kicked, filled with food. He became heavy and sleek. He abandoned the God who made him and rejected the rock, his savior. Okay, how you say savior in Hebrew? Yeshua, right? So they rejected the rock, their salvation, okay? We go down to verse 18. It says, you deserted the rock who fathered you. So he's saying now the rock is also your father. Okay, wait a minute, okay? Let's see if there's more. There's more in here, okay? It says, now watch how it does it in verse 32, verse 31. It says, it's talking about, oh no, I'm going to start at verse 30. It says, how could one man chase 1,000 or two put 10,000 to flight unless their rock sold them? So unless their God sold them, no one could defeat them. Unless the Lord had given them up. It says, for their rock, talking about the pagans, is not like our rock. Then he spells our rock differently than their rock, right? He said, because their rock is not like our rock, okay, as even our enemies concede to us, okay? So this rock became the 296 value in the Hebrew, okay? Now, if God is a Trinity, and I multiply that rock times three, I'm going to come up with the numerical value of 888, right? So now this rock that I was telling you you rejected, and this rock is your savior, you won't find out till you get to the Greek who the rock is. Okay? So the rock is the fulfillment, the Yeshua is the fulfillment of the rock that you rejected.
Wow.
Okay? And the rock that saves you, and the rock that is your father. So then Jesus comes and he goes, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And we have, and people go, well, he didn't mean father, father. It means like, no, he meant I am the Father. Okay? Because if Isaiah 9:6 tells you what? Unto us a son, a child is born, unto us a son is given, and these shall be his name. Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, a Mighty God, Everlasting Father.
Yep.
Okay? So we know that that child is being born is also the Father that you rejected. The rock that you rejected who also fathered you. Okay? So, when this rock of the Hebrew doesn't get a witness of its absolute truth until it comes to you in
the Greek.
Greek. Okay? So, you know what that tells me? God married this to Hebrew numerically.
You know it.
Huh?
You know, Mark passed it
out. No, I was just writing wrong. Okay? So, God married the Greek to the Hebrew in numerical values. Okay? Because our rock, now, we know this, that there's a little guy named David. I got to show you that David is also a symbol of Yeshua. But this guy, David, picks up this rock and he hits this guy.
666.
He hits this guy in the forehead. Okay, he hits this guy in the forehead and he dies and he cuts his head off. Which he already told him in Genesis, yeah, you bruised my heel, but I'm going to bruise your head. Okay? So the whole story is being told to us in Numbers. Okay? Okay, the whole story, God can look at it numerically and say the whole story is in numerical values. Okay? It's not just in words. Okay? It's not just in typologies. It's not just in the fulfillment of prophecy. It's in every letter. So every letter has to be placed perfectly. So when the Jews write a Torah, can they miss a word here or there? Can they write an NIV Torah? Is that permissible? Can they write an NIV Torah?
No.
Or a modern standard Torah?
No.
With modern language?
No.
They're not even allowed to do that.
Mm-hmm.
They have scribes that have to write out the Torah in the way that it's supposed to be, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then they have another scribe count the letters, another scribe count the chapters, another scribe count the words, because all the words are numbered, all of the chapters are numbered, okay, and all of the letters are numbered. And if anything is missing, you know what they do? They put it on sale cheaper. No, they don't. They burn it. They go, you missed the letter here. And you go, but I've been working on that for 8 hours. He goes, put it in the fire. Because there's somewhere in there, a demon got in because you missed the letter. Okay? So they burn it. Yes.
Rosie has a question for you.
Yes.
She said, would you please explain to me Melchizedek? She said, there is no record of his family or his death. What's happening there? Who is this guy? Great question.
We have a whole study on Melchizedek in our gematria. But to put it to you simply, Melchizedek, I don't know the numerical value of it, but his value is the same as Yeshua and Yahweh. Okay? So now, Melchizedek, he has no mother. The scripture says this. He has no mother. He has no father. Okay? No beginning and no end. So that's what tells you that Melchizedek was not a normal man, okay? He was walking around there, and Abraham gave him a tithe. And remember, he tithed to him before there was a law.
Yeah.
So that means tithing comes from somewhere else. It doesn't come from the law. Understand that. That means the process that I'm going to give doesn't come when Moses gets the law and God tells them to tithe. Abraham tithes, and he knew to tithe to,
yeah, he did.
to Melchizedek, yeah. And he knew that Melchizedek was a high priest.
Yep, he knew that.
Okay?
How did he know that?
So he tithes to him. Now, Melech Zedek means king of righteousness. Okay? Melchizedek. It's just Melech Zedek. Okay? He's the king of righteousness. But it also says he's also not the prince. He's the king of Shalom. He was king of a place called Shalom, right? So he's the king of peace. Okay? He's the king of Shalom. And he's the king of righteousness. Okay? And when we do a study, when I give you the study on Melchizedek, you're going to see that Melchizedek is no other than Yeshua appearing in the Old Testament before he becomes Yeshua, because Yeshua is not going to be the king of peace. He's going to be what? The prince of peace.
Yeah.
Okay? Sar Shalom. Okay? Now, Sar Shalom is going to equal out to Melchizedek, and you're going to know that both of them are the same, okay? Now, Melchizedek was a king of Shalom, and he was also a high priest because he received tithes, okay? Because the Levitical priesthood received tithes, okay? So now he's a king and he's a priest. Jesus comes. And is Jesus a high priest? But he's also a king.
Yes.
Okay? So Melchizedek and Jesus have the... Now, does Jesus have any beginning or end? No. Okay? He has no beginning and no end. Does Jesus have a mother and a father that began his time? He has Mary, okay, as his mother, and we can say Joseph, but to tell you the truth, Jesus came, what existed before, okay? So he really has no beginning or ending, okay? He was already spoken of before he met his mom, okay?
Amen.
So, but he's a king and he's a priest. Melchizedek is a king and a priest. Jesus is a king and a priest, okay? That means that Jesus didn't come from the tribe of Levi. He came from the tribe of Judah. Only people from Judah can be kings, okay? Only people from Levi can be priests. But Melchizedek was a king and a priest, and Jesus was a king and a priest, okay? And now, when we come into Christ, and this is what I tried to explain to people, your blood type has been changed. Because you're going to get the blood type of your parent.
Yeah.
Okay? So now you have the same blood type, rather it's in the spiritual realm or in our realm, because the blood is life. Okay? So now you have this blood type. You're walking around with the blood type of your parent, which is who? Yeshua. So if Jesus' blood type was royalty, a king and a high priest, then God says to you, you are a royal priesthood. We are a royal priesthood? Wait a minute. You can't be royal and be a priest.
Okay.
Oh, yes, I can. Why? Because the person who fathered me,
yes,
is royalty and he's a priest. Okay? So Melchizedek and Yeshua, Melchizedek is the appearance of Yeshua in the Old Testament before he becomes Melchizedek, or the high priest and king in the New Testament, okay? And this is also in Psalms, but we have a whole study on that, so I don't want to ruin it for you, but I wanted to give you a base, okay? And we're going to go through that, okay? Now,
10 minutes.
10 minutes? Okay. Okay. One other thing I want to show you in the Hebrew is this. Okay. Fountain of water. Okay. Oh, yeah. Check this out. Now watch this. Okay. Now watch this. Let me go. I'm going to put this one thing here. I'm going to put this one thing here. And then you'll see, because we got to study on this too. We're going to get prepared to get into gematria now. Okay, now. Okay. Yeah. Okay. 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 Now, in Hebrew, this is the word for dove. Okay? That's the word for dove. Okay? Now he released the dove and the dove went out, and then all of these things about the dove. So you want to know who is the dove, okay? So now, you won't, how God is going to clarify to you who the dove was, is it won't get clarified till you get to the New Testament, because then when you get to the New Testament, the word dove is going to be 10 times, because this numerical value is 71. Okay. When you get to the word Holy Spirit, in Greek, you're going to get, that's going to be, have a numerical value of 710, of 710. Okay? Now, what did it do? It multiplied this times 10 so that you can get a clear understanding that this is really that. Okay? It multiplies. So you have numerical values of 10 that are going to multiply to give you the truth of what I was talking about in the Old Testament. The reality and the fulfillment of the dove is the Holy Spirit. So when Jesus gets baptized, of course, what's hovering above his head? The dove, okay? So now, there are numerical values that multiply in tens to give you a better understanding of what it is, like the pillar that's in the Old Testament. The pillar and the pillars that were pushed out are 120, which is 120 Jubilees. But you won't find out who the pillar, what the pillars represent till you get to the New Testament, because the word pillar is going to be 10 times 120. And then it says the pillars are the church of the living God, right? So then you know that now when I go back and read that stories about the pillars, I know that he's talking, it's a future typology of the church. So now I know the pillars, when they get pushed out of the way, judgment is coming. But until the pillars are pushed out, judgment can't come, because that's what Samson showed us.
Right, right.
So now you're saying the author wants me to understand the Bible the way he wrote it, through its numerical values, its typologies, and its prophecies, okay? So that's an introduction to gematria, okay? When we get into gematria, it's going to be a big portion of the very last test that we'll take in Hebrew, in this Hebrew course, before you do your final. And the final for this course is that you come up with your own message, and you teach it, and then you send it in. And then we'll look at it and we'll grade it. But we're a long way from there, because we got to get in all of this gematria, Bible codes, and what God is trying to tell us through numerical values. Praise God. Okay. And I will say peace unto you, and Leitriot, Beshavua Chabad.